It's the whenever sold, whenever we do it. Yeah, that. My name is G Money.
And Young.
Big C.
Wagwan.
Easy. But then shout going out to a guy called Star the Entertainer. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Let me just, before I even ask you, I was going to ask you guys on the side, right? But this guy is a content creator. Ashley. He's like on Instagram and all of that.
Oh, my baby. Uh-huh.
Sorry, Ashley's, you know, it's girl stuff. There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
So the guy was like, oh, guys, I love the content that you guys put out and everything. And he's like, yo, I would love to come watch you guys. You know how many requests we get?
For people to watch?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to watch soon.
Very, very,
very soon.
Very, very soon.
Yeah.
There's, switching gears just randomly. There's a video I saw on TikTok today. A homie who was going to holla at his girlfriend who works in a restaurant, right? Uh-huh. And it was, you know, like that. You see how Calvin was talking about maybe, let me come pick you up. So one of those, maybe you're coming to scoop Shodi up from work. Her shift has ended. And you find her hugging onto the office boyfriend so tightly.
Wow.
And intimately. And I was going through the comment section. One of the most interesting things, probably more interesting than the actual video, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of guys that were coming through talking about, oh, this is what usually happens. Some of us are even cool with it, you know. Like, the office boyfriend plays such a key role, such an important role. But then there was also an argument because people didn't really know how to define who an office boyfriend is and maybe roles that office girlfriend, boyfriend can play. And I remember us having a similar conversation in studio with some of my peers. So I don't know how you guys feel. We usually say it's similarly to what you talk about couples cheating. Like, let your man them cheat because he's going to be at peace. You know, he'll go out there, do his thing, come back, all's well. Mm. But what about work? Is it the same thing? Like, maybe the only way I'm getting peace at work is having an office boyfriend, having an office girlfriend.
Mm. That's interesting. I mean, you know, I think you got to think about it. Look at realistically, right?
Mm.
If you, let's say you and your partner both have 9-to-5s, right?
Mm.
You spend 9 to 10 hours a day in the office, right?
Yeah.
It is very easy and very likely you're going to develop a friendship with somebody in the office because you spend so much time there.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. In the morning, you get ready for work. You spend more time at work than you spend, like, by the time you get home, you've navigated Nairobi traffic. You get home 6-7 o'clock, you both eat. You know, by the time it's 10, you've spent literally 5 hours with your partner. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So it's so easy to be at work, and especially if you click with someone who likes the stuff that you like, who hates the people in the office that you hate. Who brings
good snacks.
Someone who brings, my God. Hey. No,
I wish you'd have
snacks
said
and grab.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone, fam, let me tell you, you know, it's like, think about it, right?
Mm.
And I've worked in like offices, like not just radio stations. I've worked in offices. I used to have this chick, office wife called Julie.
Mm.
Fam, let me tell you, I could look at that chick, white chick. I could look at Julie and Julie would just say, She said, no con.
She's like, no.
And then she's like, you know what? We're going to have a Luther fan. She's the world's biggest Luther Vandross fan. Mm. You know, we're going to have a Luther afternoon. She takes over the radio. This time, man's listening to like the nascent sounds of grime and shit.
Yeah.
She's like, nope, today we're listening to Luther Vandross. And then at the end of the day, like, we'd leave the office, we'd go for a smoke, we'd go back to work high. Like, fun.
I can feel that bond from here, bro.
Huh?
I can feel that bond from here.
And to this day, all these years later, man, like, whenever we talk, like, she still has a, on her desk at work, she has this gorilla teddy bear, like, panda that she's had since I gave it to her. Mm. And I left that company in 1998.
Mm. Damn.
It was a gorilla, actually. It's 20 odd years old. I gave it to her when I was leaving.
Can I ask you something?
On the desk.
What is a gorilla called?
It was called Guy.
Oh, I thought you were call it Gorilla Black.
No. It was actually a blue gorilla. It was a blue gorilla, and it had a pin through its ear because at that time my ears were pierced. So she put the pin through the ear. She's like, "This is your gorilla." But Guy the gorilla.
So she called you a monkey. She was
no,
white, right?
Guy the gorilla was a famous gorilla in London Zoo. who died years and years and years and years and years ago. So that's why it was called Guy the Gorilla. He was asking.
Yeah, at any point, did you ever see it maybe going somewhere with her? You know, because as guys, we often...
Did I
we,
smash? Is that what you're asking?
No, not even smashing. Okay. Like, seeing if or considering how far this can go, or could this also turn into something else beyond this maybe work relationship? Because clearly, you two get along well, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, we go on really well.
Yeah, so did it ever cross your mind?
No,
like,
it didn't.
You know
because
what? Maybe.
No, it didn't because at that point in my life, I couldn't see myself with a white chick.
Oh, okay.
You get me?
Okay.
And also, it's like, let me tell you, I remember going home to her house once and her mom, God rest her soul, her mom was called Joan. Joni. And her mom was like a typical, you know, she died like 2 years ago. So she died in her 80s. So this must be when she's in her 60s. Typical East London white lady. And I remember her saying, we're talking about the immigration situation in London. And she's like, these Pakis come over here and have so many kids and the government looks after them. Now, Paki is short for Pakistanis.
Yeah.
And it's like saying these niggas.
Yeah.
But she said it to me and I was like, Oh, goddamn.
Hold to break.
I was like, okay.
Hold the carriage.
Maybe if I wasn't here.
She'd be saying something similar.
Yes, but I don't hold it against her, obviously, God rest her soul, because that's the generation. That was her generation, you know? And we had good times, man. Good times. They even separated us in the office.
Really?
Yeah, like school. But you know, those days, like, you know, I was a really bad employee. I was terrible. Like, I was really bad. Like, even at my job, to this day, some days I have dreams. Like, you have flashback dreams and I'm thinking, shit, I've got an in tray full of work, so this is the process. And then I wake up and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Do you ever have, like, dreams like exams?
Exams, you're late for work or you're late for school.
Do you ever have those dreams?
Yeah.
I have them regularly, like, shit, I haven't studied for this paper.
I just feel like now the time is never enough.
Huh?
Yeah? Like I wake up quite a bit thinking about, you know, different work stuff and what. Like, I'll just wake up anxious and what, and then I'm just like, relax, bro. Everything's okay. It happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I have so many dreams, like, dreams about stuff that's, like, happened in the past, and I wake up like, I know exams. A lot of people say that they have dreams about those moments of pressure in their life. So I have dreams about exams a lot. Like, I wake up and I'm like, I haven't studied for this paper. And it's usually like the literature paper. I got E for literature, by the way. So I was like, but then also,
there's no pressure in typing, eh?
I failed typing.
Really?
Yeah.
How can you fail typing?
Because,
like, how was the typing exam?
You had to type.
In a duration?
Yeah, so they give you, like, a sheet, and you're supposed to... So you have touch type. It's called touch typing.
Yeah.
Touch typing is when you touch, you don't look at the screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you type from... So you're looking this way, and you're typing.
The QWERTY.
Yeah. So...
Oh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Bro, they were making secretaries, huh?
Yeah, man.
No, yeah, like I said, you know what? Yeah. I had a typewriter as a kid. Like, my aunt was a secretary.
Yeah.
So we had a typewriter in the house. I never used to practice that much, but it's a whole science, bro.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Nowadays,
my aunt is,
like,
pretty good at
nowadays, it. We touch type because we use computers so much. Like, literally, I can look away from the keyboard and type now.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to finish it and you do it practically.
So, and I'll show you, right? But, like, I think now we're so accustomed to...
Looking. Because it's on screen.
Because it's just there, you know what I'm trying to say? But in those days, like, you looked away, like, you had the book to the left or to the right, however it was. And remember, you have to, once you type this the thing, you have to remove the carriage, you have to move the carriage back.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, and then when you move the carriage back, it has a lever. And the lever rolls the paper up one line and moves back to the start of the next sentence. It was like a proper mechanical thing.
Damn.
That's like physics, huh?
You know, it's interesting. Would you say that's how you learned how to type quickly, right? How I learned how to type quickly was playing GTA Grand Theft Auto.
Really?
Yeah, because this was San Andreas. Was it San Andreas? Especially, yeah. No, Vice City, the white guy. So how I learned to type quickly was, everybody had cheat codes for these GTA games, right? So especially the guys who are playing it on PC, it's easier for you to key in the cheat code. So the thing is, you don't have a lot of time to do this. Once you started, you have to go all the way and it has to be accurate. Wow. If you miss even one letter, you have to start all over again.
Wow.
So say you're being chased by the cops and you need them to get off your case, or you're being shot, or you're on a mission and you know the cheat code to just finish it.
This is on what? Windows XP or something?
This was on Windows. Yeah. Wow. This was on Windows. So that's how I learned how to type. I didn't even know that that's how I know how to type quickly.
Because you know now for me, my gaming days, right, was Windows 98.
What
was it?
XP.
Windows, No. Wow. It's one of those before things, right?
I've never gamed on a PC.
On a PC.
And you know that shit is back.
It's bomb.
It's back. I saw Nasty C post up. He's got like, have you seen this brand new like CPUs that are glass
see-through? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even
Akil has one, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, bro.
The gaming
so
CPUs.
Like, so like, what's the difference? Are they like more what?
They're depth? Powerful, yeah.
But do you use the joystick still? Well, how does it work?
Back then?
Like, I don't know how.
No, now you've got the joystick on them. They've got like pads on it.
They have
interactive material depending on even the game. They're very game specific.
Right. Bro, like my uncle's got one of. So they've got like the gaming chair. You've even got a microphone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, are you guys podding or gaming?
Yeah. I have to have one of those.
Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah. So it's got. I looked at it. I'm like, bro, it's a whole setup. Mm. Like, what are you doing? Just gaming? Because it's got like some serious RAM, eh?
Yeah, but that's for gamers, because there's guys who do that. Like, this is something they enjoy. Yeah. The same way you have the Rodecaster in your house and the microphones and everything.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for them.
Yeah,
like, editors, producers, they have their own thing going on. Yeah. Depending on what you like.
You know what I actually really want to get? I want to get a Kindle.
Oh?
A what?
A Kindle.
A Kindle.
A Kindle.
Yeah. Why?
Like, so I've just subscribed to like Scribd, right? You know, you get the books, the audio books, what. Mm. It's like maybe about $8 a month and everything. And just reading on the mobile phone is hard.
So I use Kindle on the iPad.
Yeah.
There's an app.
Yeah,
But what people say is that when you have Kindle, it's like you don't have the distractions of social media and browsing.
Exactly.
It's just like reading. Yeah. I actually want to get one as well, by the way.
Yeah, because I think they're like, what, 7 Gs or something? They're not too expensive.
I think about 20
like
Gs.
It's so crazy. You know, I think, I don't know who told me this, like a subscription to a network that has all of these books, magazines, what. So globally in Europe, they do that a lot. So if you want the Times magazine, the what, but I feel like it's so much information.
I ain't being funny though, bro. I can't read books no more, bro.
Yeah?
Nah, fam, I can't read books. I listen to books.
Same here. I don't read, I listen.
Bro, I get so confused. Like I was about to text you. I was listening to, what's that book that we were talking about? Me, You and Kevin Brown.
Which one?
Alchemist,
yeah.
Like, I looked at the Alchemist on my Scribd. It said 4 hours.
To listen to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super easy. You just listen through,
you
bro.
But, bro, you don't listen to, like, you can listen to, like, 2 chapters, go away, come back, listen to 3 chapters.
No, but it says the whole book is a 4 hour, but when you read the book, it takes you longer, right?
No, I read the Alchemist. Bro, when I bought the Alchemist book, I finished that shit in one day. I finished half of it in the fucking bookstore.
Borders, it depends, I think, with
I'll
how.
I'll never actually forget that day. I'd gone in, and the only reason I'd gone to buy The Alchemist was because on the subway in London, I used to see everyone reading this book. Mm. And I was like, come on, why is everyone reading this fucking book? So I went to the bookstore, Borders, Oxford Street in London, and it was one of those modern bookshop stores. So they had sofas, and you could read before you buy and all that shit. Bro, I almost finished that book, like half the book in, like, before I bought it.
But I guess it's because you love the culture. You're about the culture of reading.
No, I was then, but not so much now.
Listen to this.
People than shepherds, bakers at home.
But I was about to say, that's Jeremy Irons as narrating it.
Because he tells me I'm on chapter 8 out of 47.
So here's the thing. So I have that on my Audible as well, right?
Yeah.
I don't particularly like the narration.
Uh-huh.
Because I tend to like books where it's narrated by the author.
By the actual author, yeah, their voice.
So you see, because I find, like, for example, I'm listening to Jennifer Lewis's autobiography, well, one of her books. And because she narrates it, she's Ruby from Blackish.
Yeah.
So because she narrates it, she puts in every nuance.
She's got the ownership.
Like, the ownership of what she's written.
Yeah.
And I'm also listening to a book by Ian Wright. where he's talking about his days at Arsenal, right? And it's, I'm learning so much about Arsenal, but I would have preferred it if he had narrated it.
Yeah,
it's, but like it's 50, just like listening to one chat. Like,
so when you listen to 50's book, 50's narrated it.
Yeah.
So he, you know what I'm trying to say? You listen, so when you, so for me, I tend to buy books or audible books from authors who have, if there's one subscription that I can tell you that I get my money out of, it's Audible.
Mm.
Not Netflix, not any of these other things. Audible. What, 1,400 a month, 1,500 a month?
Mm.
And I, in the car nowadays, because to be honest with you, I don't listen to the radio no more.
Oh.
I don't. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I don't listen.
No,
to radio.
I hear you. I don't remember the last time I listened to radio.
But you know what's actually interesting? Like, I'll send you guys an article about it. You know, I think we say this what. Mm. But also on the flip side, radio listenership has kind of increased globally.
It has.
Yeah.
But you see, the thing about it is, here's the interesting thing about radio, and we said this on numerous of these engagements we've had, bro. It's not too late for radio, but radio has to. Like, look at what podcasting is doing and allow its presenters to breathe.
Yep.
Like, it has to allow its presenters to breathe, else it's going to die. Like, you can't tell me podcast listen. Remember, a podcast is literally like four of us or three of us sitting there talking shit for an hour.
Mm.
And when you look at the numbers, you're like, wow, people are actually listening to you.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that now, all of a sudden, you walk to a radio studio and they only want to hear 30 seconds of your nonsense.
Nah.
I mean, like, think about it, bro. Think about the success of The Mics Are Open. Like, a radio station said that the three of us or the four of us can't work together. And yet, if you think about it now, that one show, GMITM, has created four different radio shows. Like, that's crazy. Like, you think about it, we weren't good enough to work together. There's too many people in the studio.
Too many voices.
But that one radio show created four different. I bet they'd have preferred to be paid in the one show.
I bet you.
But now you see, it's like, so you know, there's space for that. Like, guys don't, you know, it's like Minor and Kingangi, yo. As much as you are Minor, this Minor, that, bro. If there wasn't the two of them vibing and doing their thing and having a conversation. Like, for me, I'll be honest with you, I'm really actually tired of always having to train my next co-host. Like, you know, with Charlie, it was different. Charlie came in as a complete package.
Yeah.
Charlie just came in ready to go. I learned from Charlie. Like, I learned, like, how I prep now, how I prep my shows now is the way how Charlie preps his shows. Mm. You know me, I'm like the worst for prep, but I prep every morning now. And the funny thing is, and I can share it with you, before he left, Charlie sent me a note of all of the websites he goes through in the morning. There's like 30 of them.
Send that to me.
And in the morning now, I just wake up and I click link, pull a story here, pull a story there. Because Charlie used to come to work with like 20, 30 stories
crazy
every morning.
Crazy stories, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Mm. And so, you know, I learned, in my big age, I learned from Charlie.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
There's so much to learn, man.
Yeah, man.
So, you've got to be ever learning. So like me, bro, like when I was talking about the books, bro, I've never been the biggest reader of books, but now I appreciate it. Like, half of the stuff I consume, when I wake up, I listen to the business news. Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, but you know also what it is? It's like, I don't know. I look at it from the perspective of, I remember my granddad, yeah. If there's one thing my granddad had to have, was a radio. Like, my granddad was like, he'd be under the mango tree. And he'd be like, and we had to get the extension cord that ran the power from the fucking veranda
through
to the mango tree, through the bushes, to the mango tree, plug in his radio. And he would just sit there on his J's, listening to the radio. And even now I find myself, well, not since they launched Surround Stems, but
I've been loving the sets.
Yeah, Surround Stems is something else. That if you're a DJ, Surround Stems is about to change the game. But yeah, I used to sit there, and even when I'm in the house, I'd rather have something spoken going on as opposed to music. Anyway, this is just three guys in Nairobi rambling into a microphone. This has been the Whenever Sold. My name's G Money.
Andy Young.
Big C.
Yeah, man.